B-Pod Studios.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah.
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Hi, Paul.
I'm in.
Let's do it, Mass.
All right, let's do it.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name. I hear you now, I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out, give me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling, sunshine day. Everybody's laughing, sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today. It's a sunshine day.
Hey, bitches!
Doug Gottlieb here, Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly. Hey, Paul. Why did Josh McDaniels not get a job as a head coach in the NFL? Is it because he's been associated with this team as a cheater? No, tell me, Paul.
You put those words too close together. You had to say
I'm Doug Gottlieb.
Some of them and then finish the rest of the sentence.
Hi, Paul.
Playoff time, and this is the best you guys have come up with.
No gimmicks in the playoffs.
No gimmicks.
Straight point A to point B.
I love it.
Run it. Power. Touchdown.
This should be a good one, though, no?
Yeah, it should be, right? How do you feel about this game?
Excited, because usually it's a double bye. You know, Tennessee last year, no shot. You know, Tim Tebow Broncos, the Houston Texans a couple of weeks after losing by 111 points. No shot. I think the Chargers are a pretty good team. I don't think they're a great team, but I respect what they've done, the body of work, you know, all the road wins that you guys have talked about. I think the Patriots have been equally as dominant at home. Should be a good matchup.
Where do you see it falling? Like, and nice for a prediction necessarily,
no.
But what do you think it comes down to?
Well, I think if the Patriots protect, I think that will be huge. Yeah, it's kind of cliche, but I do think the Chargers, their ability with Bosa, Ingram, you know, some of those guys, the kid Rochelle, I thought, had some pressure against Baltimore too. If you can pressure Brady with four without having to expose yourself with too many blitzes, then you have a good chance of slowing down that offense. And this offense isn't the same as it has been. So I think it starts there. It starts up front. When the Patriots lose in the playoffs, generally they lose the battle at the line of scrimmage. And I think if you look at their five losses this year, you could probably say they lost the battle up front.
So one of the ways you can mitigate that is with a run game. Greg Bedard sat in that same chair that you're in right now yesterday and said that he thinks they need to run the ball. True or false?
I think they need to certainly run the ball more effectively than they have and when they've lost games. You know, when you look at the pattern is there. Now, I don't expect Sony Michel to have to go out and run for 150 yards or anything, but you got to do better than 3.5 yards a carry, which is what kind of he's been doing lately. If you have the Chargers playing all those light packages that they played against Baltimore, and really it didn't make any sense. Like if you went into that game and you said, Baltimore was this big physical run-the-ball team, and they attacked that with 6 and 7 defensive backs, you know, in strict 210-pound safeties at linebacker, but they shut them down. If I think back to 2010, Mike, you'll remember the game, the Jets game.
Mm-hmm. Drive to nowhere.
Right? The drive to nowhere. I think Danny Woodhead had 14 carries for 46 yards in that game. They tried to run against those sub-packages, and they just couldn't do it. They couldn't run well enough. If that happens in this game, I think the Patriots will be in some trouble.
Okay, so do you think they try that as a game plan? You know, not as a second option, but we're going to come out and run against that front.
I think you're going to do that, and you're going to have some of those, some of those short passes to the backs and to Edelman. To me, a big matchup in this game, and I haven't really seen a ton. I'm not saying no one's talked about it. I hate when people say no one's talking about it. I'm the only one that I invented this. The Julian Edelman matchup against Desmond King. I think King is a slot cornerback that. Honestly, I knew about him from the combine and stuff, but the last couple of weeks they were on against Kansas City about 4 or 5 weeks ago, maybe not even that much. You watch the Baltimore game. This guy's a pretty impressive player. I don't know if he's been this good all year, but that should be a good matchup, and you know that's where Brady's going to want to go, right? No Josh Gordon. I don't think he has the Gronk that he is used to. He's going to throw the ball to the backs, and he's going to throw the ball to Edelman. So if Desmond King can neutralize him, you know, he's going to catch passes, but does he make plays after he catches the passes, or does Desmond King tackle him? I think that's a big part of this as well.
It is a great matchup. I mean, that's a great matchup. Like, that's a money matchup.
That's the first time you heard that all week?
No.
Me? Did I come up with it?
No, it was not the first time.
No. Yeah. No. I hate when people mention Gronk. No one's talking about it.
So, like, Gronk interests me, too, because as much as he's had a bad year, Paul, like, I look at Gronk and I say, if I'm on the other side, he still scares me.
Yeah.
Because of the name. And right? So how would you cover him?
Can he come up with one game? Yeah. I mean, I think Derwin James will see a lot of him. And
one-on-one?
That's what a lot of people have done this year. It's one of those things, like, you know, I kind of think back to the 2015 AFC Championship game in Denver. We all watch Manning all year. I'm like, this guy can't do it, right? He can't throw anymore. But you still kind of go into that game. This is Peyton Manning on the other side of the ball. You can't just pretend that he has never had any success. And you sort of – remember the Patriots kind of went out and played him straight.
Right.
And he went right down the field and scored a couple times. And then they were like, you know what? Let's just make this beat us outside the numbers. Let's make him get the ball, drive the ball downfield. And eventually Denver did nothing on offense in the second half of that game. So I think teams probably will open the game thinking this is still Rob Gronkowski. We can't play with fire. You can't just say the guy can't make plays. And maybe they have a little extra, you know, attention. With all those defensive backs, I think they have the ability to do a good share of double teaming. That's where the strength of their defense looks like right now is in numbers, not necessarily high-end talent. I think Derwin James has had a great rookie year. We talked about King. I think the corners are pretty solid with Hayward. And I think they have good players. I don't think they maybe have a star, but the strength is in the numbers, and that's what Bill's been talking about all week.
So when you say the Chargers in general are good, not great, why do you say that? Why not great?
I don't think offensively they scare me. And I think, you know, like if you had this defense with Kansas City or the, you know, like – now, that's scaring me a little bit. And maybe New Orleans has a little of that because their defense has played pretty well. But when I watch Phillip Rivers, I think good, not great. I think when he's dumping the ball off and sort of, you know, operating things, he's a lot like Brady in the fact he's completely in control of all the matchups and running the play clock down, making the adjustments, all those calls. But it's generally a flip off to the flat, right? How many times did he just dump the ball into the flat against Baltimore? If you go out there and tackle him, and the Ravens took that away. Now, I'm not saying the Patriots' defense is as good as the Ravens because it's not. But if you can take that away and make him force the ball down the field, I don't know that he's going to be able to do that. And I also would wonder about what the weather will be like Sunday. Is it going to be windy? Because a lot of his passes are very timing-oriented. He can throw the back-shoulder stuff with anybody. Tony, I think earlier in the week I heard you talk about some of the balls that he puts in spots on the outside, he's excellent
at
that.
He is great at that.
But that's the kind of stuff that wind can affect. And if he tries to do that, and, you know, I'm throwing to that spot, and the wind took it over here, and all of a sudden,
absolutely,
you know, it's getting picked off. I think, and you look at, he makes mistakes. He's had 12 picks during the season. Now, he played, you know, a really solid game on Sunday, never really put the ball in harm's way, but he wasn't asked to do anything, really. He just managed the game. If he's in that spot, he'll have success.
So you think the Chargers are better defensively?
I think they're pretty good defensively, yeah. Don't you?
I honestly think they're about even. And that's a cop-out answer, I know. But I think they're both good. Is how I think they're good on both sides of the ball. And is it the best offense in the league? No, but man, they got a lot of targets to cover.
They have weapons, and they're big. Their wide receivers are really, I mean, across the board. Allen, both Williams.
I think they're all 6'5".
Yeah,
huge.
And that's going to be an interesting, you know, how do they go about that? With J.C. Jackson, I think, has played really well down the stretch. But he's a very physical, aggressive corner. And I wonder, and I was encouraged last week because I didn't see a lot of really, you know, sort of mindless flags. I was encouraged by that. But I wonder about him and being a rookie, maybe being a little over-aggressive. We've seen that at times this year. And he's playing against these big guys. You know, I hope that doesn't lead to any penalties.
So I just, you know, I feel overall the Chargers have established more than you have this year, right? I'm not talking about historically, obviously. I'm talking about this season. I still think, you know, if we've just been consistent, we all said, well, let's see what they look like in Pittsburgh. Like, that's the game that's going to tell us who they are. And we all wrote off the last two until they got to the last two and they won them. And then it's like, oh, look, they're back. And like, well, no.
The Jets won, really, because I think most people looked at Buffalo and, you know, they didn't really play that great, but I think we all, you know, we lost our minds with the Jets game.
So, I mean, if we just go back to what we said before, this is game's going to tell us who they are. And this is the same old Patriots, you know, blow doors in Pittsburgh, number one seed, blah, blah, blah. And they lost that game and were kind of unimpressive in doing so. And so, like, I go back to that. But long story short, you know, we can analyze the Chargers all we want. I started this postseason just on the Patriots. I don't believe in them because of that game. And so I'm still sort of stuck there. I think the Chargers this season have established themselves as a better team.
I think you can make an argument for that. I think the Chargers are good. Like I said, I started the whole thing. This is a game that I think they could lose. The Patriots could play reasonably well in this game and not win because the other team has at least as much talent as they do. You know, you can make an argument that they're more talented. I think it's still a big task, and I do believe – I know that we sort of talk about history all the time and how it doesn't matter. You know, Bill always tells us it doesn't matter, but I think it does. I think you make two West Coast to East Coast trips in consecutive weeks. You go and try to beat the Patriots at Gillette Stadium. They haven't lost there all year. It's still Tom Brady on the other side. I think there's a lot on the Chargers. And you guys were talking about something as I was driving in, you know, the fourth quarter of that Ravens game. You think they hold off the Patriots the same if they play the same way?
No, they don't. Got to play 60 minutes.
Right? If it's a situation like that and they get a little bit sloppy and they get a field goal blocked and a punt blocked and they fumble and then all of a sudden it's 23-3 and it's 23-10 and it's 23-17 and the crowd's going crazy.
Oh, you let them hang around. They're going to come back and
win. It's what they did to Jacksonville last year.
They're going to catch you. Then they will. Even if they don't play well, the Patriots will find a way. So I think there's a lot on the Chargers. I think they have a chance to win the game, but I like the home team's chances.
Okay. You're buying into the travel thing.
I am. It's not just the travel. It's the wear and tear. It's the fact that they had to play last week and travel. It's not necessarily the five-hour flight.
Because
believe me, I've been on those flights. They treat you like kings.
They're fine.
Okay. Yeah. I get that. But it's a little bit different when you
add one on top of the
next. You play a physical game. The 10 a.m. start, I think, is somewhat legit. I don't have all the stats in front of me, but I do think West Coast teams have traditionally had trouble playing those 1 o'clock.
So we looked it up. In the playoffs, it's a wash between just road teams in general. Since 1990, West Coast teams playing on the East Coast and that 1 o'clock start in the playoffs have a .333 winning percentage. All road teams in the playoffs since 1990 have like a .325 winning percentage.
Oh, so it's the
it's
same.
Basically
so
it's the same.
It's the same.
Yeah.
The point is you don't want to be on the road. Whether it's West Coast, East Coast, Central Zone, right. Whatever. I mean, that's what the numbers say. The logic would say, I mean, I hear you. I just want to reject it because those guys travel so well. They travel so fat.
And they do. And believe me, 13 years, I think, I took every trip. And they couldn't make it any easier
it's
for
me. It's not like you and me, you know, waiting
in
line.
Like
for
being in coach.
The cattle call. No. You know, no. That's not what they're doing. Let's talk football with Perillo. Your calls right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just fired up. Yeah, fired up to be in the Final Eight and have a chance. You know, I think we talk about that every year that you're not in. You're always disappointed you didn't even give yourself a chance, give our team a chance. So certainly fired up to have a shot. You know, the fact that it is against this franchise and this team and, you know, obviously unbelievable what they've done and what they've sustained over many, many, many years. So it's, you know, it's going to be a heck of a challenge, but certainly excited to have the opportunity to come there and have another shot at them.
Everyone sounds good on the conference call except for Phil. Philip Rivers, landline, holding it like a pizza. I think that was Rivers today.
Just fired up. Yeah, fired up to be in the Final Eight and have a chance.
Sounds perfect. He ain't typing out an email when he's doing that. Philip Rivers. So this is, how many AFC Championship games has he been to? Just that one?
One.
That was the only time he ever even went to the conference championship. Was it 07?
Do you hold that against him or his... What's he's been
I think
surrounded
he's, I think he's a good quarterback, and he's been a good quarterback for a long time. I've never really felt like he ascended to greatness. Now, unfortunately for him, the best teams that he was a part of was when he was just starting. You know, the LT, when, you know, Gates in his prime. You know, they had Vincent Jackson and it was a Malcolm Floyd. They had that the wideouts on the outside. Pretty good defense, but he wasn't quite ready. And then as he got better, the team sort of deteriorated. And I know that Marty Schottenheimer and large, you know, a lot of people, he's a punchline, right? Yep. He's a good coach. He's been a good coach. He's never been able to get over the hump in the postseason. That should be held against him because ultimately that's what you're judged on, right? How many titles can you win? He could never get it done in the postseason. But then he goes to Norv Turner, you know, Mike McCoy. Is his offensive coordinator.
Mike McCoy.
So he's part of it. I put on him because if he was playing better, he probably wouldn't have had the amount of coaches that he's had. But at the same time, he didn't have Bill Belichick, and that's a big difference.
Okay, that was my point the other day.
Mike McCoy's another one. He's another one of those offensive minds that the Bedard Mafia trumpeted.
Like, we don't need to go on a whole tirade, but it's all like, what is it? It's the race to find the next Sean McVay or Doug Peterson or now Matt Nagy, right? Well, how come no one says, what's the race to find the next Adam Gase or Mike McCoy? There's a lot of offensive-minded young coaches. Some of them have worked, and some of them haven't. I just don't get, like, Matt LaFleur, we're watching
Green Bay, I want to puke.
Maybe he turns out to be great, but I'm sorry, his body of work does not deserve this job.
No, here's an idea. Let's have one of the all-time great quarterbacks in the tail end of his prime. Only 3 to 5 years left, and let's saddle him with a coach who's now going to learn on the job. That's a good idea.
This guy was at Tennessee. Their offense sucked.
That's great. They're 27th in the league in offense now. Great, great idea. All because the GM wants to pull out his wiener and put it on the table, and Matt Murphy has to prove how large his genitals are because they run the show. So we're going to get a little slappy here. And meanwhile, he's going to be learning on the job with you've got the guy, you've got the quarterback, but let's just turn the whole team over to, you know, freaking Richie Cunningham.
I mean, holy crap, the OC of the Tennessee Titans, what? Was the guy from Jacksonville unavailable?
The Flower. Like,
oh, my God. Wow. Let's find the biggest crap bag offense in the league and take the OC.
Let's not talk about that, shall we? Jerry on Cape Cod. Go ahead, Jerry. What do you got for Paul Perillo?
Glad you guys are getting into some of the inconsistencies that happen with these two offenses. And because of that and how you guys are digging into all this, don't you see a remote possibility that this could be a 13-10 game? And if it does, who wins that one?
Okay, Paul, could this be a defensive battle like that?
I don't think it's going to be overly high scoring. I think 13-10 is probably a little lower. I mean, but I understand the point, who wins a tight defensive battle? I got to favor the Patriots in a close game. I think if the Chargers are going to win.
Right, I agree.
I think, you know, we just talked about just before we went to break, you know, sort of that aura that the Patriots have. If it's a close game, don't you think the other team sort of.
Yes.
Yeah, except San Diego is four minutes
away from beating the Patriots in Foxborough.
Yeah, except the Chargers have thrived on it all year long. They've won every close game just about they've been in. It's unbelievable. I mean, like, you know, when you mentioned the 8-0 thing at home, neither team has lost a game this year. Chargers haven't lost when they've gotten on a plane. The Patriots haven't lost when they haven't. Like, you know, so there's that. There are all these things that I think this thing to me has got like 24-23 written all over it.
I could see something like that, yeah.
It's got all over it. I think it's going to be that tight and that, you know, roughly that score range.
Steven Dedham, what do you got?
There's no doubt the Chargers, they're a tough, resilient team. And they did stuff this year that there's no way the Patriots could have done. The Patriots could not win in Kansas City. I don't think they would win in Baltimore or Seattle. And they already lost in Pittsburgh. But I think the Patriots are going to win a close game by the mere fact that San Diego's got to travel 2 weeks in a row across country. And it's in New England. It's going to be cold. So I think the Patriots win a close game. And I also think the Colts are going to be Kansas City. I really do. I think they're the best team in the AFC. I know Danny from Quincy called earlier, and I think the Colts are the best team in the AFC. And I think they're going to beat the Patriots in the AFC Championship. That's all I got.
Okay, there you go. He's got it all figured out. Give me your thoughts on the Colts.
I've been impressed with the Colts. My one lingering thing in the back of my mind, I watched them play the Sunday night game. Actually, Mike, you and I were together doing some TV that night. And then I watched them play the playoff game. And I see these wonderful drives to start games. They go right down the field with these long touchdown drives, 7-0, 14-0. And then you sort of don't watch the game for a little while. You get tied up with some other things, and you look back up, and it's like 2.5 quarters later, and they're sitting on 14. And you're like, what happened? Like, that game the other day was as lopsided a 21-7 game as you could ever find. But here they are in the fourth quarter. The other team has the ball driving with a chance to get within a score with plenty of time to get a stop and get back in the game. Now, give the Colts credit defensively. They made plays and they stopped Houston. But why don't they put these teams away if they're, quote-unquote, the best team in the AFC or they're this talented? I think Andrew Luck has been a great story. I think that Colts team is definitely on the rise. I'm not sure they're the best team in the AFC.
I would agree. I'm not going that far, Danny. We've got Jake in Boston. Hi, Jake.
Gentlemen, first of all, Paul, are you on Instagram?
No.
I mean, it's a dumb question. It's a dumb question. But you had an intern who was cast this fall to go down to Foxborough and see if the Tom...
I'm just going to stop him.
Okay.
What was he talking... What is he?
I have no idea what that has to do with anything.
Something about an intern in Foxborough?
Paul, and what I would say is I'm happy to hear you're on Instagram because the last thing you want out there, man, is pictures of yourself.
Unless he was going...
I just want to... Can we focus on Brad Pitt right here? It's unbelievable. Tell you, my mother's going to get you.
Instagram does tie into a recent Patriot controversy. I'll just leave it at that. Here's Robert in Fall River. Go ahead, Robert.
Boys, good afternoon. I think that you are vastly underplaying a major theme of Sunday's game, which is that 52 of 53 Chargers have been watching Tom Brady win in Gillette since they were in kindergarten. And the glare of that moment, there's an expression, time and place. Well, this time, they've been watching this for two decades. These players on the Chargers coming into Gillette and beating the Patriots in Gillette against Brady in the playoffs.
Okay, so just the aura. Yeah, I gotcha.
Why show up then?
Do you remember like when I said that, you know, anytime anybody says that this is something that no one's talking about generally means that everybody... We just talked about it. Like, we literally just talked about
it. And you think it is a factor?
Absolutely. If the Chargers are in a close game with the lead, Jim brought up Jacksonville last year. Very, very similar situation, right? Who was the better team in that game last year?
Oh, Jacksonville.
They had the game, right? All they had to do was finish. Close. They couldn't.
Is that because they were freaked out by the Patriots or they just weren't wired that way? See, I think the aura thing and that thing shows up to begin the game, not to end the game. I think at the end it's like, well, I mean, maybe.
Let's not make a mistake.
Yeah.
Let's just, you know, finish it off. Then they get on defense. See, the bigger thing, like, we made a lot of the whole Leonard Fournette thing, right? Last year it was Fournette
first down.
They stopped playing Fournette. Press man.
The defense, the game plan on defense stopped. It completely changed. Because they were afraid. Well,
Bouye said that after the game.
Can't
remember?
Just give him an easy score. Like it was a total system breakdown in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they stopped playing press man. They were playing man and manhandling the Patriots all game long, and all of a sudden they started playing off the line and soft coverage. And Brady took him down the field and scored. So, yeah,
and I look at the way the Chargers played defense in the fourth quarter in Baltimore against a quarterback who had no idea what he was doing, and I say if they do something like that against Brady, he will score three times if he needs to, just twice.
So I agree with all that. I have a hard time with travel, and I have a hard time with weather. Like, really saying that those are the things that are going to win it for
weather,
you?
Weather, I don't think, is a factor at all, unless, like I said, the wind.
Wind, yeah.
This is not like a West Coast team. I know that they play in Los Angeles before I get made fun of. They play a style that's conducive to bad weather.
They're big, physical. They want to run the ball.
They'll run the ball. They'll stop the run. They'll do all those cliches that you want to talk about. They're not a high-flying dome team.
I mean, that's what stuck out to me in Baltimore is how they stood up to the Ravens.
They also won in Baltimore. They won in Kansas City in cold weather. They won in Denver in cold weather. They've done it already.
It wasn't that cold in Baltimore, but it was pretty cold that night, the Thursday night game in Kansas City. I think it was in the 30s anyway. It'd probably be colder Sunday. But as long as it's not intense wind, I think Rivers and that offense will be fine.
Right. So, I mean, I think the Chargers are, like, if you're telling me they're, you know, they just played Southern California team, they just sort of lollygagged to a dome 14-2, outside 14-2, you know, like, you know, the soft Colts and Chargers, that's one thing. This team has gone everywhere they've been asked to go, and they've won.
Yep.
In every, you know, sort of circumstance and environment. So that's mitigated a little bit. If Philip Rivers has one last chance at a championship and they're on this roll and they're going to lose because it's cold or because snow falls from the sky, which it's not, but like that's what's going to – that would be embarrassing. And don't tell me that's what's going to happen or because they had to take a couple flights. Like I just still don't want to believe that. Murray's update's right here. Then we're back with Perillo.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sort of prompted me before, so I'm going to just go there. These coaching hires... I mean, and it's not just Green Bay, which I find abhorrent. I find abhorrent. That is a team that could contend for a Super Bowl next year. I'm not telling you the best team in the league. I'm just telling you with that quarterback, and if it's properly put together, they should be a contender. And there is a clock ticking there, and you give it to some kid who's been a coordinator for one season. He's going to come here and learn on here. Come to Green Bay and learn on the job. That's just disgusting. All because the GM wants to be the boss and Mark Murphy wants to be the boss, and it's like, blah, blech. But then again, it could be worse. It could be Bruce Arians. It could be Fred Kitchen. What's his name?
Yes, Freddie Kitchens.
Yep. Freddie Kitchens.
who sounds like a hip-hop DJ on the radio. It's Fast Freddie Kitchens.
I know. I was going to say, you know, a
Hut 96
lead singer.
Celebrity chef. I was going to go with that. I mean, that's sort of dumb. And it's just like,
you left out Cliff Kingsbury.
Cliff Kingsbury, who, I don't know, maybe he's the next big thing. It's just none of these. And who went to Denver?
Vic Fangio.
Vic Fangio. It's like, what? The coaching in the league is I think the biggest problem in the league is coaching. Biggest problem by far. They have more than enough good quarterbacks. Maybe not more than enough, but they have enough good quarterbacks. They don't have the coaching by a long shot. And so what is going on with these hires? That Cleveland job especially. The Cleveland job especially. Okay, so maybe Green Bay has some baggage where the whatever. But Cleveland, nutty owner, but they have tons of money to spend. You're starting from scratch with one of the great young talents in the game. So it's not, you know, if this kid goes 8-8 in Green Bay, he might get fired. If you go 8-8 in Cleveland, you're on to something and they feel good about you and there's wind at your sails, so you've got more room for error, lower bar, more money to spend, a more malleable guy in, you know, you can really mold Mayfield versus Rodgers is going to tell you what to do. So why are there not the creme de la creme candidates knocking at the door for the Cleveland job? And why aren't Cleveland looking at one of those guys versus Brian Kitchen, whoever that is?
Freddie Kitchens.
And the numbers got better with him as the interim OC. But
oh, yeah.
The thing is, wouldn't you just want to have him stay with that job and just work with Baker Mayfield and bring somebody else in? Like, that's what doesn't make sense.
I'll tell you what,
you don't know if the guy you bring in is going to want to keep him.
Then leave it alone. Leave Craig Williams in charge then.
But of all the ones that have been hired, that's one of the ones I have the least problem with, because at least he was internal.
And
they know what they're getting.
I understand the reasoning. Yeah.
Right?
I get what you're
pointing. The Matt LaFleur one I don't get at all.
Please.
He apparently got choked up at his press conference, too.
Of course he did, because he's like 19 years old.
And Vic Fangio?
I love the true
fandom
and passion that comes out of Michael when you talk about the
Who was the jackass that got hired in San Francisco after they got rid of Harbaugh?
Remember? Oh, that janitor.
Yes! Oh, wow. Joey Buttafuoco.
No, I can't think of
who
name
was
now.
That guy?
It was Joey Bag of Donuts.
Remember that?
Jim something.
You know, with the mustache.
God. Yes.
Yeah.
That's Vic Fangio in Denver.
Jim Tomsula.
Yeah.
Tomsula.
That
Jim.
Is a sacrificial lamb in Denver. Elway biding time until he gets the next quarterback.
But your thoughts on the coach?
My number one takeaway is, you know, I watched the game Monday night, and I'm astounded that no one takes a run at Dabo Sweeney. Why not think of something that might be a little out of the box? I know that a lot of college coaches have come to the NFL and not fared well, but if all of the other cliches that are going on right now are true, in that these college offenses are infiltrating the NFL and it's about spread, it's about athletes, it's about finding space. Well, why not get a guy who's already doing that instead of trying to find guys that can learn that. So in that regard, maybe Kingsbury isn't a terrible hire. Maybe he's one of these guys that just didn't have the horses at Texas Tech, and that's why he couldn't win. I know he had Mahomes, but he did not have top to bottom the same amount of talent that those other Big 12 schools had. Why not take a shot with a guy who has gone head-to-head with Nick Saban 4 years in a row and really outcoached him in three of them? Right, he won two, and he had the other one. He had every opportunity to win the other one. I don't think he has as much talent as the other team, but he's found a way to be every bit as competitive, more competitive than anybody else with Alabama. And as far as I know, no one's even inquired.
Believe me, I'm with you 100%. I also like the fact, this is my big thing too, I feel like those college guys are true head coaches. They don't have their head buried in a play sheet for, you know, they're not just dealing with half the ball and delegating. They're CEOs, right? Like, I feel like a lot of those college guys are. And that's my big thing. Like this, again, I hate to keep going. The slappy in Green Bay, you know what he's going to be. You're going to look in the sidelines. He's going to be with the thing over his face the entire game, never looking at the clock, never looking at the situation, not noticing the flow of the game. That's why I think the head coaching is so bad, because they're coordinators who then stay coordinators. If I were an owner hiring a coach, I'd say, put that effing thing down, hire someone to do that, and you run the team. Okay, so I want to see solid special teams. I want to see you working with the offense and the defense. I want you getting the clocks right, not losing the timeouts. Be the head coach. You're the CEO. Delegate the play calling thing and drop the effing play sheet.
I need you to hear this, because this is one of the tweets from that press conference
I don't want to hear it. Please don't do it to me.
This reporter from Sports Illustrated tweeted, "This is the cutest press conference ever. New Green Bay head coach Matt LaFleur choked up when crediting his family for his success, and his youngest son, who's probably 4 or 5, sitting next to him, started crying."
Oh, the kid did, or LaFleur did?
Yeah, the kid started crying, but he also had to bring the kid to the press conference, too. Enjoy your new head coach.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, let's bring our... let's all bring the kids to the podium. I love that. I feel about that.
I'm going
to
throw a match in, too, if you will. I saw some other items on Twitter saying it was over 14 minutes before LaFleur even got a chance to speak. So that means your boy, Mark Murphy...
No. That was Mark Murphy...
had to clear his throat for a while.
And Gundkist, or however you... Again, got to be careful with that.
Yes.
That
was them, yes, you do.
That was them putting their junk on the table to tell everyone that we're in charge, and so this is why we've hired this 17-year-old kid to come here and, you know, take orders from Aaron.
He gets younger every time.
Oh, it's so bad. Oh, it's just awful. I promise. Patriots calls with Perillo right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Once you stop, you're done. I still like feel there's things to accomplish. And I've had an opportunity, based on all the things that have happened the last 12 years of my life, you know, to put myself in a position to achieve things that no one else has achieved. So I feel like I kind of have to do it.
I would love to play 5 more years. I'd love to play 41, 42, 43, 44, 45. It would be a challenge for me. I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't think 35, 36, 37, 38 was easy either. It's going to be hard to do. But I think I can do it.
Brady in an interview with Deepak Chopra that they recorded before the year, apparently, and just released yesterday. How do you feel about Brady when you hear stuff like that, Miss?
Oh, my God, please. It's like it takes me back to that whole Tom versus Time thing. It makes me want to puke. Part of me is so sick of Brady and the whole TB12 thing, I can't even begin to say it.
I hadn't really noticed.
Oh, my God, part of me is so... Now, look, as a quarterback, the guy's resume is impeccable. You know, he's been, again, not just the greatest quarterback in the history of the league, the greatest player. But, man, like, I hear him talk now, and I think, good God, what garbage are you spewing now? Like, what are you trying to sell me now?
Just a guy that's mad that he doesn't get to learn more about the JG10 method anymore.
The Italian galloping chicken
yeah.
is no longer here.
But it's always some proper, you know, like he always says what he's supposed to say. It's irritating. I just get tired of listening to him.
Okay, Paul, do you believe, you still believe he's in it to 45?
Well, I think that's what he wants to do. We'll see how his performance continues, in the playoffs now and then, you know, moving forward. Because I'm reasonably certain that he's going to be back to be the Patriots quarterback next year. But, you know, what then? You know, the contract situation is what it is. We'll see if the Patriots, when I hear him, you know, some of the stuff that he talked about, some of the things legacy-wise, what he's looking to accomplish, I think you guys were talking about the eye stuff.
Yeah, right? I said that earlier. I'd never heard him really talk that way.
I think what he's talking about, what he wants to accomplish that no one else has ever done, is to play at a high level in the 40s, you know, into his 40s, not just at age 40, you know, which other people have done, 41, 42, 43. I think he wants to sort of separate himself. I think it's more concerned about, you know, the TB12 than yep. it is. He already has accomplished more than any other quarterback as a quarterback. Super Bowls.
You're absolutely right.
He's won. He's already. That's over.
No one has five. He's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Greatest of all time, and no one's going to be able to take that away from him based on what happens now.
Right. Most wins of all time. Like, so there's nothing to say that I have a chance to do something that no one else has done. I've put myself in a position to achieve things that no one else has achieved. He's already achieved them. So what could he possibly be talking about? Paul's right.
That's what I think. I don't know.
No one there. So he's 41, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, Favre had a good year at 40, 41. Moon was representative at 40, 41. No one was at exactly right at 42, 43.
43? If he could go out and throw 35 touchdowns and, you know, eight picks at 43, now you're talking about something that no one's ever even approached. So I think that's what he's talking about.
And I think that's for the brand. We asked this earlier. But you know what? First, let me get your thoughts on this game and the other three. What, you know, prediction, please, if you have it, if you want to. Patriots, Chargers, what it comes down to, and your thoughts on the other
three. Yeah, we keep talking about this Patriots game, you know, in between segments, and I agree. I think it's a really difficult game to call. I think there's a lot to like about both teams. I think that they have some toughness to them. I think the Patriots have been inconsistent, but when they've been good, which has generally been at home, they've been pretty good. They've played, I mean, their differential at home is off the charts. They generally have controlled all the games at home, and I think they're going to be a very difficult team to beat in Gillette, and I'm not betting against them to do it. I think they're going to find a way to get the lead and make the Chargers chase, and that's the way they want to play. I don't know if that will be enough. You know, I wouldn't dismiss the Chargers' chances, but I think as long as the Patriots come out and protect the football, they don't turn it over and make it easy for the Chargers. I think they win a hard-fought game. Tony, would you have
24-23.
Something like that. Yeah,
I didn't say which team. I just said I think it's going to be that kind of game.
I'm going to say the Patriots are going to find a way to win something like 24-20, somewhere in that area. But I definitely respect the Chargers, and this is a game that can go either way. It's not a double bye. No, you know, none of that Tim Tebow Broncos coming here. No chance. The Chargers can win. I just don't think they will.
Okay, give me some thoughts on the other games. What stands out?
The Chiefs, to me, offensively, if they didn't have the whole postseason aura, I would say the Chiefs will win this game fairly easily. I think they're better. I think that the Colts do not have the firepower to keep up. But you can't dismiss six consecutive postseason losses at home. I don't care how good Arrowhead Stadium is.
It's a staggering statistic,
six
really.
Six consecutive home losses. I know Pat Mahomes was not involved in any of them, but I look at that as a coin flip, and I could see the Colts winning. I will go with Kansas City. I think they've been the best team in the AFC all year. I think even their losses, they've been more impressive than most teams when they lose. I'll put a little blind faith in Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, but I'm not going to be stunned if the Colts win that one. On the other side, I think the Saints have too much. I know everybody's sort of like, oh, here they come again, the Eagles. I thought the Eagles had a very good chance to win last week. I think it comes to an end. The other game's a toss-up, and it's a contrast of styles. Jim Murray's, you know, running-oriented Ezekiel Elliott nonsense against, you know, Sean McVay and Jared Goff and that high-flying attack. That one's going to come down to how well the Rams play on defense, because they should be able to control the Cowboys' offense. And if they do, they'll win that game by two scores.
That's the upset of the week right there, Dallas.
Do you like Goff?
I do like Goff. Don't love him yet. I want to see him do it. You know, last year, he did not play great in the playoffs.
A lot of balls in the dirt with that kid.
He did not play great. You know what? He's one of those guys. Mike, I heard you talking about Brady and his arm strength as we were walking in. And
yeah.
You made a comment that when he steps in, when his fundamentals are there, he can still rip it. I agree. I also agree with Tony. He's lost strength in his arm, and he needs all those things to have it look the same. You know, when it's off script, and that's what I think. And I thought of it when Jim talked about Goff and the dirt ball. I think when Goff is off script and he's backing up, I don't think he has the best arm in the world. So I think it needs to be right. I think it's a lot about Sean McVay. I think that offense can look great when everything looks great, if you understand what I mean. I think Brady can still throw it, but I don't think it's quite as strong if he's off his spot and not doing it the way he wants to do it.
Okay, Paul. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. That was it. See? Time flies.
Painless, right?
Yeah. 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 You know. Quick little clarification. The little dings in the conference call.
Oh, don't take away my take.
No. All the rest of it, I think, is you know, probably deserved. But the dings are muting and unmuting lines.
How come I didn't hear it on Josh's call?
Because no one unmuted their line.
I don't get it.
If you come and go from a conference call, you know, that's...
No. So that doodunk?
Yes.
So how come everyone's coming and going from Bill's calls and not coming
usually
and going from
Stacey
Josh's
lines that up beforehand. He gets everybody in a line. You sort of raise your hand. You know, that's what we call it. And when you're in line and he goes one after another, and it must have been everybody ready to go for Josh's conference call. Now, the pleasantries, that's all on the media. We're all a bunch of frauds. Like, hey, Josh, how you doing?
So then you
pause and you wait for him to answer back.
So I hear that as you pause when Bill's doing
good,
it.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Josh.
Great, Josh. Thanks. Thanks for asking.
Good morning,
actually,
Adam.
You didn't.
Hey, Adam.
You pause it so you can MF him like this guy.
No, don't get him going. Because you used to be able to do that. I don't want what planet, but...
No, the MF you could never say.
They're working blue today.
The thing I said you could say at one time, it's true. And then Tipper Gore stepped in. All right, Paul.
Well. Thanks, Josh. No problem.
No problem, thanks, buddy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Polly Paul. Whatever you need.
Last question, Adam Kilgore.
Hey, Josh. Good morning.
Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Adam. How are you feeling? How's it hanging?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Josh.
It's a love fest on that thing. It's unbelievable.
It's because Josh is a great guy. I told you.
All right, Paul. We'll see you next week.
All right.
No commercials. Update. Then a final hour of Patriots Chargers, and we'll reset our question that we led the show with, and that is: have you lost some faith? I'm not saying that you have no faith. Listen to the question. Have you lost some faith from where you were on Brady and Belichick? If it's all about Brady and Belichick, and that's your big advantage over everybody, and it is, it's your big advantage this week, Brady Belichick. Is the gap between those guys and the opponent less than it is? Have you lost some faith in those two individuals? We will discuss right after Murray's update.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.